Welcome to Higher Ground Ministries, where we believe God's Word still speaks today. Our mission is to teach the truth of God's Word from generation to generation, building up believers and reaching hearts with the hope of Christ. Each week, we share messages from our church services, praying they strengthen your faith and encourage your heart. Join us in person or online Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit hgministries.org.
Amen. Praise God. Did you bring a Bible? Yes. Excellent. Grab your Bibles and stand to your feet with me this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I like to do this, you know, as often as I feel to, because it's a reminder. You know, we don't just preach whatever we want. We preach what this Word says, this Bible says, this book says. Amen. We live by this. So every once in a while, we have to remind ourselves, and that's why we do this, to remind ourselves that we're speaking about God's Word. This isn't church opinion, Pastor John's opinion. It's God's holy Word, instructions for life, to live here, to help us walk here, to get to heaven. Amen? So would you say this with me? This is my Bible. It is the infallible Word of God. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. No matter what the devil says, no matter what the world says, no matter what my circumstances say, today, I'm a believer. Therefore, I'm a receiver. And I'm going to receive everything God has for me. In Jesus' name. If you believe that, shout amen. 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 Hallelujah. Be seated in the house of God. I'd say clap your hands, but I know if you got your Bibles, it's a little harder to do that. So now that you're seated, give the Lord a good hand clap in the house. Praise God. Hallelujah. Like Kate said, last week we were in Indiana, which sounds kind of weird. But we were in Indiana preaching. You know, Kate did the ladies' meeting with Pastor Tammy Eveline. She'll be with us next month. That's coming up on us really quick, her and her husband, Pastor Chuck, and their spiritual moms and dads to us. So we're excited to have them here to be able to share the Word and for you guys to get to know them. Yes. Pastor Chuck has been here before, but he came here years ago traveling with my pastor, Dr. Barclay. And so he knows our church. He's been here before. He knows the area a little bit. So he's excited to be back, but this time to stand behind the holy desk and preach what God has for him. Amen? Amen. So we're excited about that. And of course, you know, like I said, Pastor Tammy Eveline, she was preaching. Her daughter, Heather Compton, who's also not just a minister in their church, but she's got a ministry of her own. She preached the message. And then, of course, you know, my wife, she got up and she closed out that the ladies' conference. So I'm a little biased. I think the last meeting was the best. But, you know, of course, I'm biased in that. But the ladies' meetings were amazing. I know because I was there. Sitting up in the sound booth and just, you know, with Pastor Chuck and just, you know, being part of it. And it was a great time. And then, of course, on Sunday morning and Sunday evening, I had the honor of preaching. And before going out there, you know, praying and asking the Lord what to preach and what to teach. And it was kind of birthed out of a Tuesday night service a couple services ago where we were praying about the anointing. And we were talking about receiving the anointing and protecting the anointing. And we were praying that night for healing. You know, people who needed healing. And at one point towards the end of that, you know, that healing anointing service, I made this statement, maybe there are some of you that need to be healed from offense. And from that, the message that I preached out in Indiana was birthed. And the Lord said, while I was preaching out there, to come home and preach it as soon as I got back. Amen. So with that said, let's go to Matthew chapter 24. This morning, I want to deal with for a few moments on how to conquer offense. Because you live in the day of offense. Yes. Offense is an enemy. It's a wicked enemy. And it's running rampant on this planet. And if you don't believe the preacher, just turn on the news. That's all they're peddling is offense. Amen. Matthew 24, of course, you know this. This is my go-to for end times, last days events, and what we're living in, what we got to deal with. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples right after his very last public sermon. So it starts off in verse 4, Matthew 24, and it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed, in other words, get a grip on yourself, get a handle on yourself, pay attention to yourself, take heed that no man deceive you. Deception. Say deception. Deception. Deception's an enemy. It's an issue of the day. And again, that's not just in the church. You don't even know what to believe anymore, who to believe anymore. Now, I don't want to go down these roads too deep here this morning, but I mean, come on. We get phone calls now. You don't even know if it's a robot or a human. You know, if you're, you know, I said this in Indiana as well. I mean, if you listen to music on the radio, I'm one of those. I don't listen to radio, like the secular radio station, but I listen to Pandora. I can put in my Christian music and listen to. And I got listening to it, and I started to notice some of these songs, some of these singers and bands, they all sound the same. Now, it's all scriptural, but they started to sound the same. So I started like, well, who is this band? I've never heard of. And I started doing some homework, and they're all AI generated. So even the music you're listening to now, you don't even know if there's a real human behind it or if it's a computer program. Right. Amen. Now, it's a great tool, you know, to be able to help and, you know, clean up some things, but you don't even know what you're listening to anymore. You know, all of our you know, phone calls, we don't know, and amen. Deception. And, of course, I'm not even talking about doctrine. Just in the world, it's everywhere. I mean, you know, these last two presidential cycles, both of our presidents have been dead. And there are clones behind in the Oval Office. Some of you, you've heard this stuff. We don't need, if we start listening to everything everybody's saying, and people run with that. And it's amazing how far people will go with this type of stuff without any base. Without any investigation. Yeah, right. And people are just walking around almost zombified, if that's a word. Just following all this stuff, thinking it's okay. Deception is one of the biggest enemies of the day, but not the only one. Right. For many shall come in my name, saying that I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Of course, you know, now we're into doctrine, we're into churches, and you know, many of us have been around long enough, we've seen actual people rise up. They started good, but then went sideways. And they've led many people to their own demise. We have preachers today that are, you know, internet preachers. Not every internet preacher is bad, but if you don't have a solid foundation, you'll follow anything. You'll listen to anything. But they'll come in not just saying that I am the Christ, because we've had those, but they'll also come in saying that I am of Christ. And they'll give the whole, oh, I love Jesus. Okay. Well, if you did, you'd actually do what he said, not what you're doing. Verse 6. You shall hear of wars. Anybody hear of a war lately? Rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, and the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Famines. I just stop here. One famine. Common sense. We've got a famine of common sense today. Never mind all the other famines. So famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. And verse 8 says, these are the beginnings. This is just the start. If you can't get a grip on yourself now, and you're walking, you're staying with God, then anything that comes down the pike, as they say, is going to get you messed up, goofed up, get you sidetracked. Verse 9, then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, here in this nation, thankfully, you know, they may not naturally be physically be killing us, but how about character assassination? How about slander? And, of course, what's the reason? His namesake. Those who have gotten a grip on themselves, those who are walking according to this, you better get ready. In these last days with all this other, you know, stuff going on, people are not going to like you because of him. People are not going to like your life because you represent him. They're not going to like you because as you walk this life, they see him in you. They want Christianity without Christ. They want faith without sacrifice. They want all the blessings, but none of the responsibilities. They get mad when it doesn't come to pass because how is it that you can have it, but I can't? Well, you're not doing what this said to do to get it. So instead of fixing it, Cain, we attack, we slander. We'll bring everybody down to our level instead of going up to God's. So they shall deliver you. You'll be afflicted for his name's sake. Verse 10, then shall many be offended. And that's what we're zeroing in on. Many shall be offended and shall betray one another. and shall hate one another. We're going to go back to verse 10 in just a moment. Verse 11 says, many false prophets, preachers, teachers shall rise up, shall deceive many. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax or grow cold. And this waxing, it's a quick. It's not slow. Without going into my old world, but you know, I was a diesel mechanic for a better portion of my career, and diesel fuel has a very unique property. You know, gasoline, it's got, if gasoline freezes, we're all dead. For gasoline to freeze, I mean, there's, life is done. We're over. It has to get that cold. But diesel, it doesn't have to get that cold. So you gotta treat it a certain way. You gotta protect it. You gotta get different elements in it to try to keep it from freezing. But it doesn't freeze solid like a block of ice. It turns into, I'm kind of dumbing this down, almost like a gelatin, a jelly. But they call it waxing. And what happens is it starts slow. It just takes a little bit. Kind of reminds me of a verse. A little leaven. Leaven's a whole lump. Yeah. But it starts slow. Yeah. But I witnessed this one time, and it just stuck with me all these years, and especially reading stuff like this. We had this truck I was working on, and you know, it came in. We knew the lines were froze, you know, gelled up, waxed up, as it's called. And it was a dump truck, so I was able to open up the dump, look at the fuel tank, and I open up the fuel tank to see if the tank had gelled. And when I first put the flashlight in there, it was fine. It's like, all right, good. It hasn't gone all the way yet, so we can at least deal with the lines. But something happened. As soon as the cold air rushed into that tank, I watched that tank start in just one little spot, and then the entire tank just waxed. That's what happens to a human when offense gets in. When offense begins to take root, the love begins to wax cold. You don't even realize how quick it happens. And it'll happen without you even realizing it. This is why Jesus warned us. Listen, in the last days, you better get a grip on yourself. Yes, there'll be deception. Yes, there'll be. But offense is not just to get you offended. It's to go back to verse 10, and it says, many shall be offended. We're going to deal with that word offense in just a moment. But offense doesn't just stay there and being offended. It takes you to the next point. Offense will bring you to betrayal, where you will betray. Now, this isn't betraying the church, betraying the pastor. How about betraying our God? How about turning on our God? How about turning from His word, the very words of life that you once lived by? The very words that you celebrated, because thank God for His word, because I got the miracle, I got the testimony, I got everything He said I could have. But because you got offended, you started to turn from God. You started to turn from His word. And then it'll bring you to the next. Hate. Offense leads to betrayal. Betrayal leads to hatred. I've never in my life as a Christian seen so many Christians hate God's house like they do today. I've never in my life as a Christian seen so many people hate pastors like they do today. I've never seen how many people hate His word, hate His promises. And listen, I'm not just talking about random people. I'm talking about those who once lived this. How'd they get there? Offense. The door to offense was opened. Offense came in. It did what offense was designed to do, which led them to betraying. Again, listen, it's not betraying the pastor. It's not betraying the church. It's betraying our God. It's turning from His word. And then getting to that point in that place of hatred, that's where you and I live today. This is why that first one is take heed, get a grip. Now, before we dive into verse 10 a little bit deeper, let's go to verse 13. Say, thank God for verse 13. Yeah, thank God for verse 13. Because it says, Jesus, red letters, but he, you can put she in there, they that shall endure until the end. Yeah. If he's saying that those that endure means we can do this. Those that endure until the end. End of what? Until you see him face to face. by way of the grave or the blowing of the trumpet. That's how this ends, period. There is no retirement. There is no I've gone far enough. There is no I've done enough. I've done good enough. I've been. No, this is to the end, till we see him face to face. That's the end. Those that shall endure until the end shall be saved. Amen. Saved from what? Well, everything we just read. One, we're going to be found worthy to escape all of these things, the things that are coming. But also, how about these things? How about being delivered from these things, healed from these things, made whole because of the effects of these things? Advancing. That word prosperity is in sozo, saved. Advancement.
Yes.
That, wait a minute, I conquered this one offense, but I fell to this one. No, God wants you to advance, that if you've learned how to conquer offense, you can conquer any offense. That offense has no place. Offense has no room. Offense has no authority. Amen. So let's go back to verse 10. And it says, many shall be offended. Many. Now, you do understand that the Bible was not written for the world. The Bible was not written to the world. The Bible was written for you and me. Believers. So if we're talking many will be offended, we're not talking about the world being offended, because the world's already rejected Christ.
Right.
We're talking about God's people being offended. Many will be offended in God's kingdom, but those that shall endure to the end. So may we not be found among the many that are offended. May we be found among, unfortunately, if there's many here, there has to be few that endure. May we be among the few that endure until the end.
Right.
Amen. Now, we do know that's true because God speaks about a remnant that won't bow to this stuff. May we be part of that remnant. Amen. So verse 10, and it says, many shall be offended. The word offended in the Greek, just like most words in the Greek, you know, it carries, it takes a couple of Greek words compounded together, bringing a meaning and the meaning. And the first meaning of this is to entrap. So offense, so before we go too deep into the definition of, offense is not necessarily what they said or what they did. It's the results that it wants. Because most people get hung up and fixated on what they said, what they did. Okay, there's truth to that. We can understand that. But it's the purpose that Satan will use it for. It has a purpose. You know, because we understand, listen, we're all in different walk, different place in our Christian walk with God. Some are further along. Some need to pick up the pace a little. Others are just starting. But, you know, as people are growing with God, you know, you come out of the world, you act a certain way, you live a certain way, you do certain things. Now, okay, God's dealing with you. He's maturing you. He's helping you to grow in some areas and some things, okay? So God is bringing you out. That's the conversion stage of your Christian walk. You know, unlike what some preachers are saying today, you don't meet Jesus Christ and become immediately a disciple of Jesus Christ. There's a process. You meet Jesus, you become a convert. You got to be converted out of the world into the things of God. From there, you become a walking epistle. But you're still being watched by the elders of the church. They're helping you along. They're encouraging you. They're bringing correction to you. And then you become a candidate to be a disciple. It's just not automatic because you said a prayer. You got to be converted. But again, we live in a day where people are saying, oh, no, I said a prayer, therefore I'm good, I'm all set. Well, if you're the thief on the cross and you're ready to give up the ghost, maybe. But the rest of us, we got to walk some time on this planet. Our life has to change. Amen. So this is speaking to the church. Speaking to us, offense is, again, not necessarily what they said, what they do, but the purpose the enemy will use it for. Now, some people, and this is where I was going with it, some people say stupid things. I know they didn't mean that. And listen, I'm not excusing this or condoning this, but, you know, there are others that they, in their walk, they just have a bad day. Anybody ever have a bad day in here? Whoever said no, you're lying, and we'll cast that lying demon out of you at the end of the service. And in the process of that, sometimes we do and say things that we shouldn't have, that we, you know, we really genuinely didn't mean, but because of that moment, whatever. And then the other part too, familiarity can be in there. You know, sometimes as we're still growing, we know what buttons to push. Married couples know this firsthand, especially the longer you've been together. You know exactly what button to push to get the reaction you want. Amen. I guess I'm the only one who's married in here. All right then. No, all of you are afraid to look at your spouse right now going, no, this ain't us. Come on, we all know this, all right? So there's, you know, and we're not condoning saying that's okay. We should grow from that. We're not saying that's ever okay. But the point being is there are people in their walk with God, they're growing in these things, that we've got to have some mercy, right? And even in that, Satan will try to use that and cause issues and problems, but you should be growing in that yourself. But then there's others. There's always others. And the others that we're talking about here, again, we're not talking about the world. No offense, but who cares what the world has to say about us? Who cares what the world has to say about our Christ? Who cares what the world has to say about our God? They've already rejected him. Are you going to go to hell for them? You're going to go to hell with them? Then why do you care what they have to say? They've never walked into our churches. They've never been in our churches. I mean, we've got all these famous people who do not know our God, but it's amazing. They all can quote him, but they can't seem to get that right. And they try to use it when it's convenient for them. Who cares what they have to say? Right. Most people don't really give that a second thought. A complete and total stranger, do you really care what they have to say about you? But if you don't have a grip on yourself, you start to. So dealing with when it's those others who are either intentionally or being used, trying to offend. It's the purpose is to entrap you. It's to cause you to stumble. How about this one? Entice to sin. This is what offense's design is, to entice you to sin. A word we don't use very often today, but it's apostasy. It'll bring you to apostasy. The simple definition of that is the very truths you once lived by, now you turn away from and you reject. This is what offense will do. See, it's not just what they said or what they did. It's what it's designed to bring you to. Then, of course, to make or to offend. Now, if we continue breaking this down, you know, these words that make up this word offense in the Greek, it carries this meaning of a trap stick, a snare. Now, of course, I said this in Indiana. This is where my brain goes, so forgive me. And, my brain right away goes to all the Looney Tunes cartoons I used to watch. And you'd see them, you know, whether it was Elmer Fudd or Wile E. Coyote, you know, taking that tree, bending it down, putting the rope, putting the bait, say bait. Offense is a bait of Satan. The whole goal and design is to get, you know, the Roadrunner or Bugs Bunny or Daffy Duck to go in there, grab the bait. And as soon as they do, what happens? The rope snares them. Now, obviously, in the natural, the picture they paint in the cartoons doesn't happen. But I like the way they pictured it in the cartoons, because then you see the tree go up and just start whacking them around. And they get so disorientated. They don't know which end is up. The natural, I mean, it traps them. They can't get out of it. Animals are too stupid to untie the snare. And if it's just high enough, they can't, even if they wanted to. See, offense, it's a snare of the enemy. It's a trap of the enemy. It's designed by the enemy, used by the enemy, to get you so disorientated, you don't know which end is up. What you thought was right, now you're not sure if it's right anymore. What you once believed, you don't know if you believe anymore. Because the snare of the enemy is to get you disorientated, that you don't understand which direction am I going, what's right, what's God, what's not, who's right, who's not, who's lying, who's telling the truth. That's what offense's design is. And the definitions go on a little bit more. Snare, an occasion to fall, offense, things that offend, stumbling block. And then it goes down into the final level of it. It means to bend or to cause somebody to bow to. Offense used by the enemy. Offense will do this, you know, whether it's the human doing it or Satan using it, demons jumping on it. Well, it's designed to bring it to the same spot. It wants to be a master. It wants to lord over you. It wants you to bow to it. And it'll do a couple of things. It'll change the way you treat things or the way you view things. offense will, if it can't get you to just bow immediately to it, it'll get you to view things differently that over time it'll get you to bow to it. But it changes the way you look at things. Now Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 26, verse 31, he talks to his disciples, the 12 that remain. And he said, tonight, you all will be offended because of me. Now, did Jesus offend them? Did Jesus cause them to stumble? Some of you aren't sure with that question because Jesus made a statement. We're talking about what offense does. The answer is no. Jesus didn't cause them to stumble. Jesus didn't offend them in that sense that would make them cause them to sin. But what happened? Well, we can go back to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, you know, of course, if you know your Bible, you know, we generally reference John chapter 6, verse 66. And of course, it's because the number 666, Satan's number. It's not Satan's number. It's man's number. It's the fullness of man. It's man thinking he's God. But in John chapter 6, verse 66, it says that from that point forward, many of his disciples turned back, went back to their old lifestyles, and walked with him no more. Why? Because he began to speak about communion. But the reason he began to speak about communion in chapter 6 is because at the beginning of the chapter, there's a miracle that takes place. He feeds a multitude. And then Jesus, you know, like he normally would do, he fed, he dealt with, and then he goes on. He moves on to the next place. Well, everybody's chasing him. Everybody's trying to find him. And, of course, then they finally catch up to him. They find him, and they're like, well, where'd you go? When'd you come in? When'd you show up? We've been looking for you. And, of course, God is still God. He knows everything. And basically calls him out. He goes, you weren't looking for me. You're looking for what I can do for you. Because he said, what he says is, you are not here because you saw the miracle. You're here because you ate. You're here because of the bread. You're here because of the food. Not because God could supply it, but because of the need that you wanted. You just believe in what I did for you. You don't want me. You just want me to take care of your needs. And then he goes on and talk about, you know, the communion elements, because they bring it up, well, you know, Moses, you know, God brought manna. He goes, okay, yeah, do you understand what that manna represented? Do you understand how that came each and every day? They were given instructions that they had to live by. They were told how to handle it. They were told how to deal with it. They were also instructed that that supply ended that day. You had to trust each and every day for a new supply. You had to trust and walk with God. See, trusting is just saying, oh, Lord, I believe. No, there's more to it. There's walking, there's believing, there's doing what God said. They had to be obedient to God. So when they're trying to use Moses, God says, all right. Jesus says, all right, fine. This is the same thing, but I'm the bread of life now. So when you come, and he's talking about the communion elements, when you eat of me, you'll never hunger again. When you drink of me, you'll never thirst again. Well, they've got a problem with that, because it's not the cannibalistic side that we normally portray it as, though some people think that way, and they thought that way too. But it's the fact that, listen, if you want what I have, you got to do what I do. Because communion is not just simply coming up to the table and taking some elements. It's what that word means, fellowship. Partnership. Partnership means you're doing something with the person you're in partnership with. Yeah. It's not all on the one person. It's on both working together. That's what they were offended with. Because, well, no. We want the modern doctrines of 2026. We don't have to do anything. You just do everything for us. We show up when we want to. We show up if we want to. We do what little we want to, if we want to. And you're supposed to bless us, because after all, you've done everything. Now, he has done everything. But he's done everything so we could walk this out with him. He didn't do it so you and I could just live however we want, do whatever we want. Amen. Because if that was the case, why is he not doing it for the world? If it doesn't matter, why isn't he doing it for all those in prison right now that haven't repented and still have the same heart and attitude of what put them there? No, only Christians think this way when they become offended. They were offended with him. So when Jesus says to his disciples, tonight you will all be offended because of me. Not because of Jesus himself, but because all of a sudden, just like in John 6, actually, let's go back to that. Turn to John chapter 6 for really quick. I want you to see one verse in that, now that I'm thinking about it, to just further Jesus' statement to his disciples. John 6, starting in verse 66, and it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back, they turned away, they went back to their old lifestyle, apostasy. They had been walking this, they've been walking with him. If they're his disciples, they've been with him for some time now. This moment right here is leading up to the final week of Jesus' ministry. Some of these people have been with him for some time. Think about who's in this group. The 70 that were sent out, that came back rejoicing. That 70 is not the 12. That 70 is in this group. They came back rejoicing. Even demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, don't get excited about that, because everything has to bow to the authority of my name. But rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That 70 is part of this that turned away. How do you walk with that authority, casting out demons, laying hands on the sick, raising the dead, and then turn? Offense. John chapter 6, the second half of it, it's all about offense and where it will take you. So you can get mad at me, Pastor John, and think, well, it's Pastor John that's running people off. Jesus did too. I'm in good company. They were offended with him. That's why I don't take it personal when people are offended with me. So from that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Will ye also go away? Thank God for Peter. 68, Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. See, it's not the words just to get you there. It's how we walk this now so we can enjoy it and be there. So when he's saying you've got the words to eternal life, it wasn't just, okay, we get to go to heaven one day. No, Lord, you're the one who's rebuking us. You're the one who's correcting us. You're the one who's showing us how our lifestyle before was wrong. You're the one who's dealing with us that our attitude's been wrong. You're showing us how to walk and honor this God. Where else have we learned this? We didn't learn it at the bar. Right. We didn't learn it in the political circles. We didn't learn it in religion. You have the words to eternal life. Where else are we going to go to find this? You can't offend us. Amen. That's what they're saying here in John. But Matthew, he's like, tonight, you guys will all be offended. They weren't offended with Jesus' walk. What they were offended with, what got them to bow, what got them to turn away, what enticed them to sin, which, you know, to turn from God. Peter denies him three times. You read King James, it says he even tried to talk like the crowd. He tried to cuss like the world. Christians are not good at cussing, so don't try picking that up now. But he tried to sound and act like the world. See, something caused him, something enticed him to act in that sinful behavior, to turn from their Christ. What was it? When they looked at Jesus, if we stay connected with him, we'll suffer the same thing. If we stay connected with him, they're going to persecute us too. If we stay connected to him, they're going to crucify us too. This is what he was dealing with back in John chapter 6. Listen, you guys want me? You got to understand, this world hates me. Right. If you're going to walk with me, you better settle this thing now. Matthew 24, get a grip on yourself now. The world's going to hate you. Carnal Christians are going to hate you if you're really walking with God. So you have to decide now, who are you going to try to please? The world or God? Right. Where are you going to try to fit in? Because you can't do both. Right. You going to try to fit into God's kingdom or the world's kingdom? There is no gray with God. Right. It's one or the other. You're either in, you're out. Even Jesus said, I'd rather have you hot or cold. Right. Not lukewarm, not playing both sides. In fact, he says so much that it disgusts him that he'd spew you out. Right? You know your Bible says that, right? I'm just making sure that we're still reading our Bible here. But this is what Jesus is dealing with. He says, tonight you'll all be offended. Why? Not Christ, but the offense. Satan used this moment to try to get them tripped up. He tried to disband the ministry of Jesus Christ, all of his leadership, because he saw already at one point, well, I already cleared out most of them. I just got 12 more to go. And I already know I got one of them. Because even Jesus said that night, are you all going to leave now too? No, nope, where are we going to go? You got the words of life. Jesus says, red letters, did I not call all of you? And one of you is the devil. See, already knows out of the 12, one is going to betray him because one has been living in offense, trying to play both sides. And he already knows. It's already gone beyond the offense. Betrayal's coming. He already knew that because the pattern is always the same. So Jesus, you know, deals with this and explains it. And then, of course, we see, you know, you'll be offended. And this is what the purpose of offense is, to pull you away from God, to get you trapped, to get you to bow, to get you to compromise. So when humans do this, the world will do this. You know, we don't need to be Christians to experience this, but the world will do this. Christians will do this. They'll make comments. They'll say, you know, I've had over the years, 17 years, my father-in-law's been in heaven. 17 years, my wife and I, we've been, you know, helping and now pastoring the church. It's been amazing how many people over the years sitting right here in this church. Most of them aren't here anymore, and that's okay. But it's amazing how many of them will make comments about me, my preaching style, who I am, what I believe. One guy said, oh, no, no, don't worry. He'll simmer down. He'll calm down like the rest of us. No, I see what it's doing to your life. You're going back to the world. Why on earth would I want to do that? I got delivered from that. I ain't going back to that. I'm just getting fired up. But the purpose of saying that was, oh, wait a minute. If I took the trap, took the bait, the snare would be, oh, wait a minute. Maybe I should simmer down on what I'm preaching. Maybe I should calm down on what I'm preaching. Because obviously somebody's offended in here. Somebody doesn't like what I'm preaching in here. Then we had the others, you know, like, there's no anointing in here. Not for you. The rest of us are enjoying it. And the healing miracles and the deliverances that are taking place. Just because it skipped over you, sorry, Bubba. It wasn't just a statement being made. Demons attached themselves to these comments. Demons attached themselves to these statements for the purpose of, can I get them to bow? Can I get them to back off? Can I get them to water it down? Can I get them to compromise? Can I get them to adjust their walk? Because if I can get them just to bow immediately to the offense, I got them. But if I can't get them there, I'll work to change their perception, how they're viewing things, how they're seeing things. I don't know if this is any of you in here, and if it is, I'm not. This is not at you. It's a statement because I've watched this, I've witnessed this all my life, different cases, different scenarios. But it's amazing. You'll find that woman. She meets that guy, gets married. Everybody tells, don't marry this guy. He's this, he's this, he's this. Don't. Issues happen. They end up getting divorced. She gets married again. Everybody warns, listen, this is like the last guy. Don't do this. Right. Pattern goes on 2-3 times. And then finally she's done with men. But then it's amazing. Every man on the planet is a jerk. No, sweetheart, you have no discernment. No common sense. Because there are many great, holy, righteous men of God on this planet that don't do what those men did. Everybody warned you, but you're going to do your own thing your own way because you're your own God. But now they're offended with, because of what happened, it didn't go the way they wanted, how they wanted, and not only are they offended, but their whole perception is now changed in every man. So you take that same woman, she comes into the house of God, she meets Jesus, it's genuine, but she doesn't conquer offense. So the man of God stands up behind the pulpit, preaches the word of God, and he may be the hero for a little while. Until he says something that meddles with that offense. And now all of a sudden, that pastor is just like every other man. Some dirty dog. That church is just like every other church I came out of. Those believers are just like every other believer I've ever met because their focus has been changed. If offense can't snare you immediately, it'll snare you eventually if you don't deal with it. It takes the anointing of God to deal with it because it takes the anointing. Only the anointing can break the yoke, lift those burdens. And that's what we've been dealing with the last couple of months. Amen. But we need the anointing of God to deal with these things. Because without it, you'll bow to it. If not right away, eventually. And that's where we live today. We're living in the season of offense. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 7, he says, "Woe unto the world because offenses, for it must needs to be that offenses come. But woe to that man whom the offenses cometh." That's King James. Let's see. Amplified says, "Woe to the world for such temptations to sin and influence to do wrong. It is necessary that temptations come, but woe to that person on whose account or by whom the temptations come." Another translation says, "What sorrow awaits the world because it tempts people to sin. Temptations are inevitable. But what sorrow awaits the person who does the tempting." Again, offense is not what they said or what they did. There's truth and there's validity to that portion of it, but it was the design that the enemy will harp on, attach himself to get connected to. Oh, we've had this here in the church. I've had this, you know, again, you can't do what we've been doing as long as we've been doing not to have some stories. You know, we start dealing with things, we start preaching things, and, you know, and it's amazing. Oh, there he goes again. I know who he's preaching about. No, you don't. Because I'm not preaching about anybody. I'm preaching about things. I'm preaching about issues. Just because you're attaching somebody to it tells me that you haven't dealt with that offense. It's still dealing with you. Because you have no clue the realm and the scope of things I deal with. And how many people, you live in this little small community, your little world. I'm not being arrogant here. My world's a little bit bigger than yours. I deal with, this is a weird statement for this guy who thought he'd be nothing in life because that's what I was told. I'm talking with people all over the planet now. I'm dealing with people all over our nation now. Never, ever, ever thought I'd be here. But you know why I never thought that? Because I used to listen to those words. And I bowed to, "You'll never amount to anything." I don't say it because I already know somebody's going to mouth off, "See, there he goes. He's victim mentality." Oh, yeah. If anybody knows me, you really know me, I've never stood up here as a victim. Amen. You know why? Because I've been set free from that. Yes. There's an anointing on my life that does not bind me, that does not bow me. Right. Amen. Because if that were the case, I would not be standing here preaching half of what I preach. Because I know every service, generally, and I know who's ticked off at me. Yeah. Like right now, I know who's ticked off. Yep. But that's not my problem, that's your problem. Right. You know why? Because I'm preaching God's word. Yes. And if you're offended with this, what I'm saying, that means you're offended with God. Because it's his word. Who have you been listening to? Good. Who have you been fellowshipping with? Galatians chapter 5, a little leaven, right? A little leaven leavens a whole lump. Go to Galatians 5. I love how Galatians 5 starts off. Verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Dig your heels in and don't be moved." That's how the chapter starts off. But then it gets down to verse 7. "You did run well." You did run well. Now think about this. The Apostle Paul is writing, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So God is speaking to the church, not Paul. God is saying, "You did run well." In other words, you were doing it. You were on course. What happened? Cain, did I not receive your offerings? What happened? Why has your countenance fallen? Why do you have an attitude now? When you were once doing this the way I said to do it, did I not receive it? Here he's saying, you did run well. You were doing good. Who? Not what, who? Not what did they say, who? Not what did they do, it's who? Who? Who did hinder you? Who cut in on you? Now you've heard this illustration many times, that every time I preach out of this, I'm just going to shorten it down. It doesn't matter how big the tree is or how small the tree is. You know, in my backyard, we've got, you know, pine, maple, we've got birch. We got the tiny little birches, the saplings. Or you can go out to the Midwest and we got the giant sequoias. It doesn't matter how small or how big. You let somebody whack at you long enough, big or small, you're coming down. It doesn't matter how big the axe is or how small the knife is. You let them whack at you long enough, you're coming down. God is saying, who did you let cut in on you? Who did you allow access to you in such a level that they could do this to you? You notice that he didn't say, let me, who are you fellowshipping with? Who are you running with that had such access to you that they could do this? Now, the deception of the day is, well, I was just there. We weren't talking about anything. Oh. Try that with the officer who pulls you over. When you were sitting in the room and everybody's smoking dope. And now you reek of it. Because you know what they can't test for? If you're high or not. I don't care if they said it's legal or not. You get pulled over. You get stopped. You reek of it. Guess what? You're in trouble. Why? I wasn't doing it. And you can't pull Clinton. I didn't inhale. Because you were there, it got on you. Because you were there, it didn't just get on you, and then the moment you walked out, it fell off of you. It got in you. And you took it with you. It infected you. And you'll pay a price for it. Never mind that. You can sit in that room and think and convince yourself it has no effect. You're an idiot. Of course it does. Just those vapors, that smoke, that's getting in you. It's affecting you. Never mind the smell by itself. Well, I don't believe that. Okay, well, then take it up with the Surgeon General. I didn't smoke, but it's amazing how many people have cancer from secondhand smoke. I didn't smoke, but you were around it. You lived in the same house, and it's amazing. The same cancer that they didn't seem to get, you did. You can't tell me that's not the enemy. Satan messing and meddling with people. You know, most of my career outside of, you know, church was in the shops, and I worked around, and of course things changed and adjusted, and, you know, that's a common practice in garages. People smoke. I don't. I didn't. But it's amazing. Whether I was in the shop or if I was visiting with my dad who was a chain smoker, I'd leave there and I'd smell like I was smoking. Come on. You think offense doesn't operate the same way? You think the demons that attach themselves to offense don't operate this way? If you put yourself in a position, they're jumping all over you. Well, I don't think they'll affect me because my God's bigger. Bigger than what? Your pride, your attitude that you know more than God? When he said, run from these things, don't be part of these things, don't be partakers of these things, don't defile yourself with these things. And you think that you're bigger than your God now? And you'll use the, no, my God's bigger. No, yes, your God is bigger, but you got the wrong God. It's what you've already bowed to. And now you're justifying. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? To obey the truth. What truth? This. Not my opinion. But God's word. There's a reason why God said all the things that he said. Because he knows the effect it will cause and bring. And yet, people still do. Verse 8, this persuasion cometh not from him that calleth you. What persuasion? Well, it's a suggestion. God doesn't really mind. He doesn't really care. No, when God said it, God has never given a suggestion. God only gives commandments. The difference with our God versus Satan is our God doesn't make you do it and doesn't ensnare you in it. He presents to you life and death. If you want what I have, do what I said. I'm trying to say, please choose life. In fact, you know, he said, here's the test. I'm going to give you the answer. Choose life. A little leaven, verse 9. Little leaven. Leaven's part of the lump. Only the part that you don't care about. Your little pinky. That's as far as it'll go. No, God said the whole lump. Lumpy. You know, it's no different. We've seen the illustrations. I've seen my father-in-law do it, my pastor do it now, just different ones. You take that bottle of water, you put a drop of arsenic in it. Crystal clear, can't see it. You think you're going to be able to decipher where it is so you don't drink that portion of it? It spreads out through the whole water. That whole water, cup of water now will kill you. See, Satan doesn't care where he has access. He just wants access. Once he has access, and offense is one of the big issues of the day. Once he has access, he runs rampant. He never just says, you know what, I'm in the front door, I'm just going to stay here. Oh, no, he's in every room of the house. He's in the closet, the basement, the attic, bathroom, bedroom. He doesn't care where. He wants everything. You can't sleep without thinking about it. You can't eat without thinking about it. You can't go to church without being offended. You can't read the word without being offended, because after all, I know what the Bible says now, and that preacher's wrong. I can't believe he just said that from the pulpit. I knew he was preaching about me. If the shoe fits, I hope put it on for you in hopes that you might start walking right.
Yes.
This isn't at anybody. This is one of the major issues of the day. Again, and I'm trying to be very careful not to go down these political roads, but come on, all these last several election cycles, these are ridiculous now. These mobs that are meeting and gathering, people yelling and shouting, and they're offended about, but they're spewing things out that make no sense. And then when they're questioned, they can't even tell you what they're mad about. Well, where's that based? Well, I heard this. Oh, good, you heard. Where's the proof?
Yeah.
Well, they said. Yeah. It's amazing. Nobody ever knows who they are. But they keep showing up to everything. Amen? A little leaven. Leaven's a whole lump. Offense will infiltrate. Offense will defile everything. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. It'd be nice if it just stopped there. Now, that's not nice, because you're trouble. You're in trouble.
Right.
But it says, and thereby many will be defiled. It'll affect everybody.
Right.
It does. It's not just you.
Right.
It's where it goes. It's how far it goes. It affects everybody. Amen. So the trap of the enemy, the snare of the enemy, is the offense, to get you offended, to cause whatever, you know, to either back away from God, back off the things of God, pull away from people of God, because when they start mouthing off, you know, hey, listen, I'm grateful for my father-in-law. That church is a cult.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know why? That was such a big thing back in the 80s and 90s. Because we did have those church leaders who started right and then went into cultism.
Yeah.
You know, the Jim Joneses. These are real people. They started right, or sort of right. And then they went so sideways, they thought they were God. And many people paid, some of them with their lives. So when they start throwing the cult, The purpose isn't just to insult. It's to get them to quiet up. Shut up.
Yes.
Shut your doors. Don't be helping our city. Get out of our city. We don't want you here. But we've got the words of life.
Yes.
That's what Peter was saying. Where else are we going to go? You've got the words of life.
Yeah.
But when they make those statements, it's for that very reason. Today, things have shifted just slightly because now when they use that, the people who are actually blasting that, generally if you categorized and you studied out what a cult is, their behavior is cultish. That's another whole deal by itself. But think about all the stuff that we're dealing with today. We got false accusations everywhere. It doesn't matter which president sits in the office. Every president has had it. They accuse him of. They say he did. Some of it may be true. Most of it isn't. Some of it might have a little bit, but, you know, everybody starts looking. They start looking at him different. They start looking at the administration different. Churches are no different. You start throwing that cult around. They're controlling. They do. It's amazing how many people will jump on things. They'll sit in a church. They'll go on a social site that's attacking the very church they sit in. Wow, I didn't know that was going on. Phew. That's amazing. Forgetting the fact that the people that are typing and posting these things don't even go to that church, never attended that church, and most of them don't even live within a 1,000-mile radius of this place. Oh, I can't believe. Oh, I sure hope to God my pastor starts to humble himself and get his life right. I'm not being arrogant. I know I'm being a little punchy, but I'm not being arrogant about this. See, if offense had any place in my life, I wouldn't say anything that I've just said. And I'm not saying this to be, I'm saying this because this is a wicked trap of the enemy. To get people snared. And what, for what purpose? To water down. Dumb down, water down. So then what? Then we're just nothing more than a social club? So we all come together, we feel good, and we feel good about feeling bad because we all feel good about feeling bad because nobody will confront us about feeling bad because of the offense that we're living in. But we want to feel good on our way to hell. Hopefully we go to heaven, but we really don't care anymore. As long as we feel good along the way, because we're all in the same boat together, we're all offended together, we're all gathered together, and see, yes, I'm talking about the church, but how about your life? How about when you go into the workplace and you're trying to witness? And maybe you might not be saying, hey, listen, Jesus Christ is Lord. You need to repent, give your life to him, or you're going to hell. How about just the way you live? They're all in a little gossip circle. Why do you leave every time we start talking about the boss? Well, because I'm a Christian. I don't gossip. I don't slander. Oh, don't give me that. You're like the little teacher's pet. You think that little statement doesn't have more behind it? What's that statement for? So you bow to them. Oh, no, no, no. We can't have anybody outside of our circle indicating possibly, maybe, just by chance, our life and what we're doing could be wrong. So you got to bow to. We need you to start slandering with us. Because as long as you stand out here not slandering, we're not talking about the church. We're back in your workplace. Don't look at me like that. So we got to get him to bow to us so we don't really feel bad about what we're doing. That's how the enemy works. And yes, it does happen as Christians. I don't do that. I'm a Christian. I don't do that. You won't work the extra time on Sunday? No. I go to church. It's God's day. I've always gone to church on Sunday. I'm not compromising that now. It's God's day. Oh, give me a break. That church has so many services. You can't miss one service. Do you think those statements don't have more meaning behind it? Now, the person may not be the issue. Sometimes it is. But if that demon can figure out, if all I have to do is get somebody to say something, that I can get them to bow to me, get ready to spend the rest of your life bowing. You'll bow to people. You'll bow to things. You'll bow to issues. You won't stand. You won't make a stand. After all, how can I be? Who you're going to bow to? Him or him? You bow to him, you're going there. You bow to him, where do you think it goes? Because if he can get you to bow in one area, he'll get you to bow in every area. Right. You know, this is part of my story, and this is part of, my father-in-law said this years ago about me, and I didn't really understand it then. I do more now. You know, just family issues and problems and stuff, and, you know, because of instruction that he gave me about dealing with some things and trusting God, believing God. And then, you know, I dealt with those things the way he instructed me. And I started to get the freedom that he said, because he said, if you want peace in your life, you've got to cut ties here, because if not, what will happen is you will never make them happy. Even though you may make them happy here, you're going to have to bow here, because it'll never be good enough. It'll never be enough. If you want peace, you're going to have to until they stop doing what they're doing. Was that an easy thing to do? Of course not. Am I grateful? Absolutely. I live in peace. This is not me ticked off. This is me ticked off at Satan.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Watching people's lives being ruined because of offense.
Yeah.
So I did. I began to enjoy that peace and like, all right, I'm not bound by these things anymore. I'm not offended by what they're saying and doing anymore. And then he made this statement. He said, you know, that demon knows you and it hates you, because it knows it no longer has a grip on you. It knows you will never bow to it again. That's why, and this is what he said, that's why people get riled up around you. Because they know, whether it's themselves or the demons that are running them, driving them, that they do not have a chance of getting control over you.
Yeah. Sure, you're right.
That's what happens when you become unoffendable.
Yes.
By the anointing of God. It's not an arrogance.
No.
They'll accuse you of being arrogant. No, I don't hate anybody.
Amen.
There's a lot of people I don't like. The Bible only instructs I have to love everybody. I don't have to like everybody. I don't like what half the people I know are doing. I don't like what some of you are doing. Doesn't mean I don't love you. Because if this was a like love and that made a difference, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't be preaching any of this. You can go out there and live like a pig. Go to hell if you want to. I don't care. No, I care. Because I love. I don't want to see anybody go to hell.
Amen.
Even those who are. I don't want to see them go to hell. But I can't stop them either. So because I can't be offended, I won't be offended, I also don't care what they're doing or where they're going. I can't stop that. That's their choice. Because even that could get me to, oh, you know, I can't let go of them, because what happens? I'll tell you what happens. You'll follow them, Lot's wife, right into the judgment. When you had the instruction, get out. She wasn't even in the city when that judgment fell. So, it's not an arrogance thing. But we got to understand offense. It's not what they said, what they did, what they're saying, what they're doing. That has its own place and its own deal. It's what it was designed to do. It's designed to ensnare you, to entrap you, to keep you bowing to. Now, obviously, if Satan showed up in a red jumpsuit, hopefully some of us would recognize, hey, that's Satan. Maybe I shouldn't pay attention to what he's saying.
Right.
I'm not so sure in 2026 if that would happen anymore, but I would hope so. So he doesn't show up that way. Demons don't show up like little gargoyles that we see in the old church buildings. I've never understood that one. We got a church. Let's put some demons on the outside. Anyways. No, if they showed up that way, we'd recognize them. I would hope. No, Satan's a little bit more slick than that. He uses people. I started this early. It's like if the world was mouthing off, we could care less. Who cares what somebody in Africa has to say about a church up in Gardner, Massachusetts? Right? No offense to Africa. Janine's from Africa. So nothing against Africa, but who cares what somebody in Africa we've never met has to say about our church or our life or our walk? We wouldn't care. Satan knows that. So what does he use? Those we're close to. Those we respect. Those we might have some sort of connection to. He uses the avenue of familiarity. Now let me just say one last thing and then I want to pray. Familiarity is one of the, it's the number one sin that got Adam in trouble in the garden. He got so familiar with God, he listened to his wife. She wasn't the problem. It's because she was listening to Satan. He was the problem. But he got so familiar with God that he started to think what Satan was saying to be true. Maybe it's not that big of a deal. After all, we've been walking together. I know him. He knows me. I love him. He loves me. He got so familiar that God was no longer God. God became equal to him because they walked in the cool of the garden together. That's what happens in churches. That's what happens in families. We get so familiar with one another. And then because we're familiar with one another, we think we know everything and we've got everything. And then, of course, you know, on that end, there's that level of, all right, well, I have to be the one to fix this. If you couldn't be the one to prevent it, what makes you think you're going to be the one to fix it? But that familiarity steps in and says, no, I love them too much. I don't want to see. Of course, we all love everybody. We don't want to see anybody go sideways. But you notice the dad in the prodigal story? Didn't it stop him from going? You notice he didn't even talk him out of it? He's like, all right, this is what you're going to do. I'll give you what you want. Go. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't chase him. He didn't cater to him. Because he knew until he came to himself, he wasn't coming back. Because offense, the other thing it wants to do, it wants to pull other people in with it. Offense, with one person alone, you might have one ticked off person. If that person can get the ears in the heart of somebody else, they're not turning. Sorry. It's not going to happen. God will have to intervene somehow. And usually if he has to intervene, it doesn't end well. It just doesn't. So that familiarity comes in and that becomes an issue. Because after all, I know. I just know how they are. You don't know them like I do. You don't know them as well as you think you do. But then something else comes in. Weariness. Because now you're trying to do this in your own strength. You're trying to do something God never gave you permission to do. When he gave us instructions on how to handle these things, and you go beyond what he says to do, you start to wear yourself out. You start to burn yourself out trying to save somebody that you can't save. You and I can't save anybody. Jesus saves by the work of Calvary. We plant, we water. That's it. God brings the increase. God makes the increase. The moment you start to think, I'm the way they're coming back, I have to do. Now, obviously, be led by God. God will tell you. He'll plant, water, do, adjust. But the moment you start to take that on yourself, I have to, because if I don't, who will? If I don't, they won't. And you start to wear yourself out. Familiarity and weariness is the breeding ground for offense. Because now you start becoming offended. And I know over the years, some people have been offended with me, even in here, dealing with certain things and talking about this very topic, because when it comes to people and dealing with people, you become offended with me because I'm like, listen, this is what the Bible says, not John, because I know I'm not pastor anymore. I'm just John to you. You can tell when familiarity stepped in. When it's no longer pastor, it's John. That's another deal. But I bring you to the scriptures. God said when they have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, he's not talking about the world. He's talking about believers who have gone sideways. And another part of Timothy where it talks about protecting the anointing. 1 Timothy 6, where it's talking about protecting the anointing. It gives a whole list of people going sideways, and then it says depart from them to protect the anointing. John did not come up with that for all of you who I'm just John to you. God said that. But if you become so familiar with me, well, he's just John now. Then, because you're doing this in your own strength, now you're going to be offended with me because I just said that again. And now, how dare he? You can hold on to that offense, or you can be delivered from it. But it's going to take the anointing. You're not going to read enough verses to get you delivered from that. It's going to take the anointing. And I got so much more I want to say about this, but it takes the anointing to break these things. It takes the anointing to keep you out of these things. Amen. And, you know, you guys have all heard the story here. My father-in-law, you know, this was part of me getting this victory in this area. You know, my father-in-law, he was offense is proper here. We had some missionaries that were part of our church. My father-in-law raised them up, funded them, did everything for them, built their ministry, sent them out. And then, of course, you know, things started shifting and adjusting, and they got mad. They didn't like what he was doing, so they fired him. Just kind of simplifying the whole story. They fired him. He's the one who built their ministry. They would have no ministry if it wasn't for him and this church, because we're the ones who funded that. Yep. And they fired our pastor. We lived with him at the time. He was hurt. Now, I've seen him ticked off before. I've never seen him hurt like that before. That ticked me off. I wasn't sanctified completely yet. But I used to be sitting up in the old sound booth. And they fired him, and they did their deal. And, of course, you know, it's like, all right, well, how do we fix this? How do we deal with this? Seeing my pastor, seeing my father-in-law, and that it hurt that way. So I'm sitting up there, and I think it was on a Tuesday night. I watched the couple come walking through the door like nothing had ever happened. They came just bebopping in like, hey, we're here. Celebrate us. I'm up there trying to figure out, okay, I got to get everything fixed up here because I'm going to deal with them. How dare you treat my pastor like that? Because he was not my father-in-law first. He was always my pastor first.
Right.
How dare you treat my pastor like that? And I'm not proud of this. I'm just being honest. I'm sitting up there, sitting the sound, getting the slides going. I'm like, I'm going to go deal with you two right now, and praise God, I'll fix this. Before I could finish any of that, pastor was sitting over here. He pretty much where Guy is, thereabouts. He made it from there to over here and just began to hug them, love on them before I could even get out of the sound booth. That ticked me off. How dare you forgive them after what they've done? But I'll be honest with you, more so it messed with me. And for a few weeks in time, it just really messed with me. And then the Lord began to deal with me. If he could do that, what's your problem? Why are you holding on to these things? You want to let go of those things, you got to let go of them. You can't keep going back to them. You can't keep dragging these things up. And through that, my pastor's instruction, the word of God, the anointing of God, offense was broke that day. I didn't realize it was starting to break off me that day, but it broke off of me that day. And then it continued, and God's anointing continued. And I'm honest with you. Do I get offended? Well, offended in the sense, am I mad when somebody does something stupid? Sure. The Bible says be angry and sin not. The Bible says be slow to anger. Anger is not an issue. Anger, when it's directed by the Holy Spirit, is righteous. Most people never get there, so don't think you're there. Anger is not the issue. Being ticked off because somebody did something, we're not robots, and God knows that. You do remember when Jesus went into the temple because of the money changers? That was a ticked off Savior. You don't just flip over the money changers' tables going, hey, this is great, guys, love you. Oh, I got this whip, by the way. What picture of our Christ do you have? He was ticked off. What did he do? He cleansed the house. My house shall be a house of prayer. You've turned it into a den of thieves. And what happened immediately after that? Healing miracles took place in the temple once again. After he cleansed it, because he was ticked off at what was going on. So being angry is not the issue. People are going to do, people are going to say, that does happen, anger comes. It's how you deal with it.
Amen.
Amen. But I'm talking about the offense, getting you snared, trapped, bowing to. That part, it takes the anointing. Actually, it takes the anointing for everything, but to get victory in this, yeah. It takes the anointing. It takes the anointing to stay in that realm. You know, I've got people right now, they think that they're professionals at this, harassing, yeah. Slandering. More power to them. The only people they're hurting is them and those that are listening to them. It hasn't stopped us.
No.
We're still going. We're still doing. The church is still here. We got no plans of leaving. We got no plans of going. Until the trumpet blows, we're here until Jesus says otherwise.
Yeah.
It hasn't worked before. It didn't work for them. It won't work for you. The sooner they figure that out, the less misery they're going to live in. That's their deal, not mine. Just because I know what's going on, I don't have a right to be irritated by it. I just don't let it bother me.
Right.
And when I address, I'm saying all that because you're going to deal with the same things in your life, and you are. You all know this. You all live in the same world I do. You may not be behind a pulpit, but in your personal business, doesn't matter if it's your family, doesn't matter if it's in the school, doesn't matter if it's in politics. It's all the same everywhere. But it takes the anointing of God to conquer so you don't live under that bondage that offense wants to bring and put you under. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Like I said, I got so much more to say, but stand to your feet right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, before we leave, now I do understand, and we're not going to rush through, but at the same time, this is what God said today's service is for. We do have that bake sale that's going to be going on for the kids and their trip to Invasion coming up this summer, so I want to make sure you get time for that. But before we get there, the purpose of today, God said, just like the anointing that we saw in Indiana, this is why he said, come home and preach this.
Yes.
There are people in here that are living under offense that has them bowed, and they're bowing to things, people, events, past events. Listen, it could be somebody who's dead and gone.
Right.
You could be ticked off at the person who died early. How dare they leave me? And it keeps you bound and bowing at their tombstone. I don't know. We're not interviewing. You could be bowing to something you did in your past. You're offended with yourself. And it keeps you bowing and just like, I'll never move on beyond this. I'll never get, because of what I've done, this is where I'll, no. God can restore. He's a master at restoring things. God can fix anything. He's in the professional business of fixing everything. But we just got to do it his way.
Amen.
Amen. You could be, I'm just throwing some things out there. I'm not trying to zero in and pick on. I'm just saying these are some of the things that people don't think about. You could have a failed marriage. And you're living under that offense of because of what they did. Or maybe you did. Or together did. I don't know. Satan doesn't care if he can keep you bound.
Right.
How about a failure? How about a disappointment? And then, of course, you add people to the mix. Family members, friends, jobs, coworkers. You go down the list. It doesn't matter what it is. And this is what I feel God is saying. It doesn't matter if you're going through it right now that you need deliverance from, the anointing to deal with the offense that's knocking at your door right now, or if it's something that's caused you to look at things differently. You're looking at people differently. You're looking at churches differently. You look at messages like this. I know who he's going after. You better get that thing checked with God. I would not be doing my due diligence as a pastor if I didn't make that statement. If this message ticked you off, you need this message. If you're dealing with something from your past, it's changed the lens of way you look at things. Or you're on the other side of that and you're starting to walk this and like, all right, I'm being delivered from, I'm being healed from. God also wants to restore.
Amen.
He doesn't want to leave those wounds
right.
Or those open sores. He wants to bring healing to that, restoration to that. And I believe that all three of those, that's what this anointing is for right now.
Amen.
Amen. So if you want or you need prayer, we're not interviewing anybody. I don't need to know what the offense is, what it was. Listen, I'll throw one more out there. Maybe you're offended with me. You don't like what I preach. You think I've been going after your family. You think I've been going after you. You think, I don't know, never been my intent. And if I did come across that way, I'll say it right now. I'm sorry. So if the offense is with me, you can still come up here. because God will bring healing to it. But you got to leave it at the altar. Amen. So if there is anybody, we're just going to just do it this way. Just come up here right now while Lisi's ministering on the piano. We're going to lay hands on you. Now, we preached this a couple of Tuesday nights ago, the anointing. We talked about the transfer, laying on of hands. Hebrew, one of the ways that God ministers to people. Amen. For the anointing. See, this isn't Pastor John just praying over you. It's for the anointing to do what the anointing's designed to do. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to come lay hands on you. Amen. And I've been given this instruction. I learned this from my pastor. It's proper for you to be down here praying, hands lifted, thanking God that he's about to do. But the moment I stand in front of you and I put my hands on you, you stop. You got to get into receiving mode. It's hard to receive when you're talking. And just receive the anointing that God is bringing. Amen. And I'm going to say this. When we're done here, we're done. So don't be asking the elders to pray for you. Don't be asking the ministers to pray for you. Don't be trying to chase me down to my office later on. This is right now. Amen. Now, the rest of you, I want nobody moving around, but just stretch your hands forward as we pray. Our Father, I thank you right now. I know. I live under this anointing, so I know this anointing. Offense has no place here. I don't live under it. I don't walk by it. I'm not led by it. And in Jesus' name, you said that the anointing that's on me can get on them, that they can be free from these things. Whatever that offense is, past, current, things that they need restored because of, Lord, we thank you right now that the anointing is here to do everything you said it would do. And Father, I thank you that your anointing does what it does. It lifts every burden, the weights, the heaviness that these things have brought. It destroys the yoke, the things that kept them bound, to going back and bowing to whatever the offense was, bowing to the people, bowing to their voices, the things that they said. Lord, we thank you right now. Your anointing will do what it said it will do. Break these things, heal these things, and bring restoration in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for this right now. Father, I thank you for this anointing. We bind these things right now. We curse these lying demons that continue to minister the offense. Father, we speak right now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, freedom. Freedom from offense. Freedom from offense in Jesus' name. Anointing to deliver them, heal them, restore them. Offense has no place here. We're not bowing to. We're not listening to. We're not chasing. Freedom. Freedom in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for this. Freedom. Freedom so peace can come back in. Healing can come back in. Restoration comes because of. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your anointing. Thank you for the anointing right now in Jesus' name. Offense has to go. Offense can't stay. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Peace. Peace. In the name of Jesus. Peace. In the name of Jesus. Peace in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for that anointing right now. Thank you, Lord. Offense no longer has a voice. We thank you, Lord, for healing, restoration in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, Father, we thank you. We praise you for this. Lord, I thank you right now that your anointing is just flowing right now in this house. Offense has no authority here. It is not our master. We don't listen to it. We don't bow to it. We don't entertain it. But Lord, we thank you for the peace that your anointing brings, the freedom that your anointing brings right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The past is just that. It's in the past. Lord, we thank you right now. Your anointing to break all these yokes, lift all these burdens. Freedom. Freedom in Jesus' mighty name. Freedom in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your anointing right now working, flowing in the name of Jesus. Restoring things, fixing things, delivering us from things. Not going back and entertaining ever again. Ever again. We're not going back and entertaining it ever again. God's fixing it. He's fixing you, fixing them. We're not going back. We're not entertaining anymore. We're marching forward. Those thoughts that keep coming back, it's the enemy trying to keep you out of the call that he's got on your life.
Yes.
Because he knows how much this bugs you. He gets that. I get that. And God is saying right now, his anointing is going to give you freedom from that.
Yes.
Obviously, thoughts, you got the thoughts, they're there. They're burned up in here. But I got a picture of some of them, not all of them, but you do. And God is saying, you stop thinking about, stop dwelling on, and you let his anointing, just like it worked in my life, it'll work in your life. Those words that were ever said, those thoughts that ever came, they can't stay. They have no power, because God has a great call for you. Bigger than you even think. Bigger than you understand. Greater than your grandparents, your parents, or even praying for. You got something massive God has for you. That's why this keeps messing with you. And God is saying, trust me. Trust me, your pastor, yes, but trust him. Stop thinking about. And when those thoughts come, the Bible says that you have the authority to cast those things down. That means when the thought shows up, you say, no, not today. Not mine. No more. That was then. That's not now. And you just keep saying that. And I'm telling you right now, this is done. It's over. It's starting right now. And you're going to have that victory, and you're going to walk in the same peace that I do. I promise that. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for your anointing right now. Thank you, Jesus, for your anointing. Lord, we thank you. Offense can't stay. Offense has to go. And Lord, I thank you that your anointing will bring restoration. It'll bring peace. It'll bring healing. And Lord, we thank you that it cannot stay. It cannot stay in the name of Jesus. It cannot stay in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now, everybody, lift your hands to heaven. Because I know, God knows, and he gave me permission to do this. But you got to grab a hold of this. I know not everybody who's supposed to be up here came up here. That's your deal. But God gave me permission to pray this. Now you receive this if you want it. If not, don't blame me and don't blame my God. But Father, I thank you right now. Every one of us in here, you said it in your word. We looked at it briefly. We cannot walk this life without offenses coming. But we have something to say and something to do about it. So Lord, I thank you right now. By the anointing of God, offense, though it comes, it cannot stay. We will not entertain. We will not receive. So Father, I thank you right now. If there's any type of offense, past hurt, present hurt, restoration that needs to take place, Lord, I thank you right now. The anointing is here. May we just grab a hold of it. That you do what you do best. You heal, you restore, you deliver, you make whole. Father, we thank you right now for this. I speak this over all of us. Now, Lord, I thank you right now. Those that aren't here because they couldn't be here, they're streaming with us. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. If they're dealing with offense, Lord, I thank you that you're going to help them as well. I thank you that you're anointing. There's no distance in the Spirit. That you're helping them in Jesus' name. Setting them free. Bringing healing and peace and restoration to them. Lord, thank you. Now, church, say this with me. Lord Jesus, I receive this anointing. Help me to deal with offense. That I will not take the snare of the enemy. I will not be bound by the enemy. I will recognize when the enemy has laid traps to ensnare me. Lord, help me, anoint me, deal with me, that I avoid these things.
Thanks for joining us at Higher Ground Ministries. We pray today's message encouraged your heart and helped you grow in your walk with the Lord. Want to worship with us in person? Our services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Learn more at hgministries.org and be sure to share this message with someone who needs encouragement today. Until next time, keep your eyes on Jesus and keep climbing higher.